Moikatan Daf Chav Dalet. We're on the very top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Continue our discussion from yesterday's Daf regarding Avelos and Shabbos. Over the course of a week of Avelos, obviously Shabbos will be one of the days of Avelos. Observance, Nihuge Avelos, that is Farhesia, that is public, is prohibited on that Shabbos. However, a discussion and debate in yesterday's Daf as to whether or not those things which are private should or should not be observed on that Shabbos. If you recall, the Gemara had a machlokas in yesterday's daf on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. In today's daf, the first half of today's daf, Chav Dal Amud Aleph, is going to continue this very discussion and this debate. By meaning Rav Yochanan Mishmol. The following question was asked from Rav Yochanan to Shmuel. Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos O Ein Avelos B'Shabbos. Is there no Avelos on Shabbos? Presumably the question over here means Varm Shabbatzinah. Amalei ain't avails b'Shabbos, and the response that Shmuel gives to Rav Yochanan is that there is no avails on Shabbos. Now, as far as Rav Yochanan and how he dealt with this response of Shmuel, coming up a little bit later on in the daf. In the meantime, we see over here Shmuel's position is very clear, that even Dvarim Shebetzina on Shabbos are not observed b'chlal. Yasser Rabban Kama Derel Papa, the Gemara discusses a little bit more about the Nehugei of Avelos v'kamer Mishmei to Shmuel. The following was quoted in the name of Shmuel, Aval Shashim Shmitasa Bimei Avalo Chayv Misa. An Aval who is intimate with his wife during Avelos is subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. Amalu Rav Papa Asirit. Mars Rav Papa says, I have two corrections over here. Number one, not Chayv Misa, but rather it's Asir. And number two, Mishmed Rav Yochanan. It also was not said in the name of Shmuel, but rather in the name of Rav Yochanan. Vishmilechu, Mishmed Shmuel, Hachishmilechu. Now, it could very well be that you heard something in the name of Shmuel, but if anything, it's the following. If I have an avel who does not allow his hair to grow long, meaning he grooms himself, or he does not do the mitzvah of kriya, tearing his clothing, chayv misa. So such an avel is going to be chayv misa, presumably misa b'dei shamayim, shenamar. The Gemara turns to the pasuk once again by the Bnei Aaron. So Bnei Aaron were given very clear instructions that in their particular scenario, they were not allowed to their hair to grow long, nor were they instructed to do the mitzvah of kriya, which means, ha'acher, but if dealing with anybody else, shalopar v'shalopirim chayv misa, where if, in fact, they don't allow the hair to grow long and they don't do the mitzvah of kriya, meaning that those are two obligations that a general avah must engage in, and if they don't chayv misa, they're going to be subject to misa b'dei shamayim. As to whether or not this is a bona fide drasha, see the second Tosos on the Amud for that discussion. Tosos suggests it's not a bona fide drasha, but regardless, it's still going to be asur for an aval to engage in these activities. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. It may be an asmachta. Amarav and Barapapa Tanabal Varabasi. The following was taught in a brisa. Aval also l'sham shmitasa b'mei avlo, and aval cannot engage in intimacy with his wife during avelos. U'maisa be'echa shishim shmitasa b'mei avlo v'sham tuchazirin es gviyaso. And there was a person, says the Braisa, who did engage in this behavior, and pigs went ahead and dragged his bodies, meaning it was a onesh min hashamayim for engaging in that behavior. You see Rashi over here for a couple of pshatim in terms of what it means when it says the gviya that's being dragged by the pigs. But anyway, but certainly, min hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meted out a punishment for this individual who engaged in this kind of behavior. Amar Shmuel Pachaz Chova Netrisha. So already on the top of the Amud, we were introduced to the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says that Dvarim Shebetzina are not to be observed on Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to elaborate on this opinion of Shmuel. And it's going to break it up into six different categories/obligations on Shabbos. And it's broken up into three and three. The first three are signified with the Rosh Tevos of Pei Ches Zayin. Second three are with the Rosh Tevos of Nun Tuf Reish. And the Gemara now is going to go through the significance of each of these six items and how an Avol is to be conduct himself on each of these six items. So the first three. Number one, the Pei is Prias Rosh. So that means to say that he did not Tifa. He wrapped up his head for the Chovas Avelos. We discussed this already earlier in our parak, and that means to say that there is a wrapping up of the head, what's called the Tifas HaRosh. And so on Shabbos, being that you cannot do any kind of displays whatsoever, not publicly, not privately, for his Avelos, and since the wrapping up of one's head is something which is clearly over here, something which is public. We'll explain a little bit better why it's such a public act. So therefore, on Shabbos, what you have to do is you have to be poreah. You have to take off the atifa. Number two, chazor sakra, la'chorav. So the torn garment, which is prominent, so it has to be turned around. Back in the good old days, the garments that they wore were somewhat reversible. So what you did is you took the torn part and you put it to the back so that no one sees it. And once again, it is a way of concealing the avelos on Shabbos. Number three, zekifa samita. Take the breads that were overturned and you unturn them. Again, another practice that's not practiced to this very day. But nevertheless, they overturned beds, and it wasn't just beds, but it was any seating, it was any item that was sat on or lie down on. So somebody walks into your house, he's going to see them. And so therefore, what you have to do going into Shabbos is that you have to turn them right side up. So chova. So all three of these activities are in fact going to be an obligation. And again, because these are viewed under the category of public. And so therefore, if anyone sees them, so they know that you're going to be observing Avelos, and that's something which cannot be done on Shabbos. Now we're up to the next three, which are going to fall under their own category. Nilas Asandal, the wearing of leather shoes, Tashmei Shemitah, engaging in marital relations, Rechitzas Yadam V'Raglayim B'Chamin and Arvis, washing your hands and your feet in warm water. So Rishos. So these are not things which are an obligation, but rather there's things which are optional. Optional because, as we're going to go through all three of them, there is no indication if you engage in these activities or if you don't engage in these activities that you're in fact an avo. Let's go through each one of them. Nilas Asandal. The Gemara is going to make this point, but we'll say it right now. And that is, as far as the wearing leather shoes is concerned, so people, generally speaking, either wore shoes or didn't wear shoes. So by you not wearing shoes on Shabbos, it's not going to be indicative of the fact that you're an avo. Obviously, Tashmei Shemitah is a private matter between husband and wife. So you don't have to engage in Tashmei Shemitah. Again, according to Shmuel, there is no Avelos on Shabbos. So one could, but at the same time, it's not going to speak about any kind of communication to the world at large if, in fact, you don't engage in Tashmei Shemitah. Obviously, it's a private matter. Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chamin, washing your hands and feet in hot water. So once again, that's something which is more private in nature. You are allowed to wash your hands and feet in preparation for Shabbos, but if you don't do so, so it's not going to be known to the public. And so therefore, these three activities, rishus, if you want to engage in them, that's fine, but if you don't want to engage in them, that's also fine as well. Rav Amar Av Priyas Rosh Rishus, Rav is of the position that if you want to uncover your head, that's fine, but if you don't want to uncover your head, that's also fine as well. Shmuel Maishnan Nilas Asando de Rishus, Delav Kuleyama Avidi Yisayim Misanehahu. So Priyas Rosh Nami, Lav Kuleyama Avidi de Maglu Rishayu. So the Gemara wants to understand Shmuel's position a little bit better. Shoes, Shmuel said, on Shabbos, optional. You don't have to wear shoes, and that's because not everybody wears shoes. So again, absence of shoes does not indicate that you're an avo. So the Gemara says, what about the same thing about Priyas Rosh? Meaning, isn't it possible that somebody could be just simply covering the head, and it wouldn't be a sign of avelos? To which the Gemara's response is very simple. Shmuel Tame, Dam Shmuel, Kol Kras, Sheinu B'Shas Chimum, Eino Kra, V'chol Atifa, Sheinu Katifa, Sei Shmeilim, Eino Atifa. There are two rules that Shmuel lays down. We're going to come back to the first rule in just a moment, so I'm going to pass that over for a second. We're going to go to the second rule of Shmuel, and that is that in order for Atifa to be considered to qualify as an Atifa, it has to be done, Ki Atifa, Sei Shmeilim, you have to do it like the Arabs. Which means to say that you're going to be wrapping up your head in a comprehensive manner, which is going to be clearly indicative of the fact that you're an avo. And so as a result of that, you can't go on Shabbos with your head covered, because according to Shmuel, if you want to do so properly like an avo, you have to do so katifis yishmeilim. That will be very conspicuous. And so therefore, for Shmuel, there is no option but rather than to take it off on Shabbos. Otherwise, it will be obvious that you're an avo. Mechve Rav Nachman ad gube de dikne. Rav Nachman shows the people around exactly how to do this atifas yishma'ilim. It basically means that you're going to be wrapping up your head over your eyes, over your nose, and really over your mouth as well, to the point where your entire face is going to be covered. So again, this is how Shmuel dictates that atifas harosh has to be done. Rav Nachman is just giving a description. And because, again, atifas harosh is so conspicuous, it's so obvious that you're an avel, so that's why on Shabbos, Shmuel's of the position that you must remove it. Shoes, on the other hand, are not going to be as obvious, and that's why, according to Shmuel, you can leave the shoes off. It won't be as conspicuous. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loshanu, Ela She'en Lamin Alim Biraglav. This is true, and this is only going to be true, that on Shabbos you must take off their head cover. That's only if you're not wearing leather shoes. Aval Yesh Lamin Alim Biraglav, but if you're wearing leather shoes, Manal Mochichim Alav. So at that point in time, the leather shoes are going to be enough of a hochacha, enough of a proof that you, in fact, are not observing avelus, and therefore you can have your head wrapped. Gemara is going to go back to that first statement of Shmuel, that in order for the kriya to be a valid kriya, it has to be done b'shas chimam. At the time of your most intense pain, the Gemara is going to go back to this first statement of Shmuel, and it's going to analyze it a little bit. Kol kriya she'ena b'shas chimam in a kriya. So any time that you're doing kriya, and it has to be done b'shas chimam. And if it's not done in Shas Chimam, if it's done some other time, it is not considered a valid Kriya. V'ha Amr Leil Shmuel Nachnaf Shederav. Meanwhile, the Gemara tells two stories. One, when Shmuel learns about the death of Rav. So Kara Allah traced our money, so he tore 12 of his begadim. Presumably what it means is layers, and that he tore one after another. And Amr Azogavra Dava Mistafinamine. Shmuel's response is that that's somebody that I'm afraid of, meaning Rav was somebody who really challenged him in learning. And when Shmuel said anything in front of Rav, he was always cautious and really careful to have to say anything because he knew that Rav was able to really challenge him. Amalei Rav Yochanan Nachnaf Shei Rabbi Chanina, similar story. Rav Yochanan was told that Rav Chanina died. Karalei Tleisai Tzalei Milsa. So he tore 13 garments, presumably again layers and one over the other, and he did kriya on all of them. Amar Azogavra Dava Mistafina. Again, similar response, in that Rav Yochanan had a lot of respect and awe for Rabbi Chanina, and he knew that with the passing of Rabbi Chanina, he lost a really serious foil, a really serious chavrusa that warranted that kind of response by Rav Yochanan. Anyway, in both of these circumstances, the Gemara's assumption over here is that when they learned about the death, it was sometime afterwards. It wasn't Shas Chimam. And meanwhile, they did Kriya. Meanwhile, Shmuel's of the position that in order for the Kriya to be a valid Kriya has to be done and can only be done during the Shas Chimam. The Gemara says, Shani Rabbanon, Dekhem Dechoshayta Mitkura Shmasayu Kishas Chimam Dami. The Gemara's response is that when it comes to Talmid Chachamim, so anytime that you hear Torah from a Talmid Chacham, even if it's at a significant time later, it's going to be considered like a Shas Chimam. And that means to say that they not only are embodied in terms of their personality, but they're embodied by the Torah as well. So if at a later point in time you remind yourselves of the Torah that they once upon a time taught, that's still going to be very emotional and it will be considered a Shas Chimam even at a later point in time when it comes to Talmid Chachamim. So this in no way challenges the position of Shmuel. Shmuel can maintain that in order to successfully do Kriya, it has to be B'Shas Chimam. It just happens to be that for a Talmid Chacham, Shas Chimam could be at a later point in time. Amalei Rav Bar Adal Rava, Amar Tamidecha Rav Amram. The following was said over by your Tamid Tanya. We learned the following brisa. Avakol Shiva Koro Lifanov. For 7 days of Avilos, the Kriya has to be in front of you. As we already discussed earlier, it has to be prominent, it has to be displayed. People have to be able to see the Kriya. V'im Balahachlif. Now, if you want to go change a bag at Machlif, Vikorea. So what you can do is you can change your beggar, but the new beggar that you're wearing now during Avilos has to also be torn. Shabbos, Kara L'Acharav. Now, as far as Shabbos is concerned, so what you do is you take the kriya, you take the torn part of the garment, you put it behind you, make it reversible. V'im Ba L'Hachlif. Now, if you want to put on a new beggar on Shabbos, Machlif Einu Koreya. So there, you can change, and you do not do kriya. In fact, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do kriya, as it would violate Shabbos in doing so. Anyway, what comes out over here is that the Brice over here is talking about Kriya, but not necessarily on the day of the Misa, not on the day of the Kvura, but anytime during Avelos. And again, if we're going to take Shmuel's statement literally, the only time that you can do Kriya is only B'Shas Chimam, and at no later point in time. And yet, in this Brice, we're talking about doing Kriya at any day during Avelos. Kitanya Hi, so the Gemara says, this Brice that we just learned together, that you're doing Kriya and you're even doing it at a later point during the week, so that's covered Aviv Imo. Yeah, that's talking specifically about Kriya that a person is doing over the loss of one's mother and father. So as we already discussed yesterday, and here we go with another distinction to be made. So when doing Kriya over Aviv Imo, so not only is there an element of Avelus, but there's also an element of Kibbut Avaim, And so therefore the Chovas Kriya would extend even beyond what the normal Chovas Kriya would demand. Osan Kura'in. As long as we were discussing the Kriya that's done on the changed clothing, meaning your second Kriya. So Mesachin Oin Mesachin So, are you going to stitch it up or are you not going to stitch it up? As we already learned, the Kriya that you do for one's mother and father is never to be stitched up. Meanwhile, over here, this isn't on the original clothing, this is on a change of clothing. So is there any kind of leniency in this circumstance? Pligi ba avua, the Ravoshiar Bar Kapara, Gamar brings on the Machlokis Amaraim, Charamar, Ein Metachin, Vecharamar Metachin. Okay, so the Machlokis. As to whether or not the second tears can be stitched up. Tis Tayem, the Gemara at least wants to try to conclude, De Avua, De Rav Oshia, Damar Ein Metachin. It's the father of Oshia says that one is not allowed to stitch it up. The Amar of Oshia, the Gemara puts the following pieces of information together. We know that Rav Oshia says Ein Metachin. Rav Oshia himself is of the position that one is not allowed to stitch up a kriya that's done for one's parents, even on the changed garment. Now, manch mi alei, now where do you hear from? Lav mi avu, presumably heard it from his father. So if we know that Rav Oshia says Ein Metachin, so presumably his father is also of the same position. The Gemara says, lo mi bar kapara rabbe shmi alei. Maybe he didn't hear it from his father, maybe he heard it from his Rebbe, and as a result of that, not necessarily connected. Amar Rava. Ava Mataya Be'umkale. A person can go ahead, walk around on Shabbos with a garment that is torn besoch beso as long as he's in his house. And that means to say that Rava seems to be going against the Shita of Shmuel. Shmuel has told us that on Shabbos, Afil Dvarim Shebitzina cannot be observed on Shabbos. And so now the Gemara here is citing the position of Rava. Rava allows people to walk around on Shabbos with torn clothing as long as he's in the privacy of his own home. This seems to go against the Shita of Shmuel. Abashkechel Rav Yosef de Parsley Sudra Reshe. Abai finds and encounters Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was an Avel. And what he was doing is that he was covering his head. So, meaning, he was doing a tifa. The Azavasi Bevese. And he was walking around his house and doing so. So, Amrele, Lav, Several Amar, Ein Avelis B'Shabbos. So, Abaye wants to know from his Rebbe, Rav Yosef. Don't you subscribe to the opinion that there's no avilas on Shabbos, meaning even dvarim shebitzina? So I'm like, achem Rav Yochanan dvarim shebitzina noeg. And Abaye's response to, Rav Yosef's response to Abaye is that no, meaning I don't subscribe to the opinion of Shmuel. I subscribe to the sheet of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that one is going to be observing avilas afilu dvarim shebitzina, even those things which are not even with those observances that are private. So those are going to be observed on Shabbos, and only the public observances are going to be waived for the Shabbos. Gemara, that's it. The Gemara concludes on this matter. Comes out now from the first half of today's daf. Machlokes Amoraim. Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. Seemingly, Rav and Abaye and Rav Yosef are on the side of Rav Yochanan in that when it comes to Shabbos during Avelus. So Shmuel's of the position that there will be a total cessation of Nihugei Avelos, both Dvarim Shebefarhesia and Dvarim Shebetzina. And according to Rav Yochanan, Dvarim Shebefarhesia are going to be waived and pushed aside for the Shabbos, but Dvarim Shebetzina are still going to be upheld. And from the Gemara's conclusion over here, the Gemara seems to be siding with the Shita of Rav Yochanan and that of Rav Abaye and Rav Yosef. Tosus over here, Tosus divra maschla hacham Rav Yochanan dvarim shebitzina noeg. So he writes pasuk ba'alachas gedolska Rav Yochanan lafuki merav shmol damri leal tashmish shemitah reshus dvarim shebitzina he. So the Bahag passes like Rav Yochanan, and then he asks a very basic question. The Alpha Gav skipping a couple lines in the Tosus for Alpha Gav dekaimelan halacha gedivra ameiko. So yes, and we've said already, and if my count is correct, four times in this paragraph we've already stated that when you have a machlokis in Avelos, we're going to be following the more lenient position. Over here, the more lenient position would be the opinion of Shmuel. So why don't we say Alacha Gedivrei Ameikom? In fact, somewhat ironically, it's even Shmuel himself is the one who said that whenever you have a machlokis, Alacha Gedivrei Ameikom. So why wouldn't we follow the position of Shmuel over here, who ends up becoming a more lenient position? So Tosas answer, Hanimila be machlokis shel Tanayim. Aval be milsa damari lo amarin. So that's true that we say the halacha is kedivrei hamekel, but only on anything that is subject to a machlokas atanaim. Anything that's a machlokas amaraim, and of course an onward, so it's not subject to this rule of halacha kedivrei hamekel. I don't have really a good svara in terms of why this distinction is in fact a reasonable suggestion, meaning clearly Tosus is saying this to answer up the Gemara, where the Gemara now has concluded that we're going to be, and the Bahag has concluded that we're going to be machmir like Rav Yochanan over that of Shmuel. So certainly I understand why Tosus has to say this, but in terms of how this distinction actually plays out, why it should be that there's a difference between Machlokas Tanayim versus the Machlokas Amarayim, and we're only going to be makel by a Machlokas Tanayim and not by subsequent Machlokas and Machlokas Amarayim and onward. So I don't have a good explanation as to why that is. But certainly that is Tosus' explanation. We are continuing on Chavdalam and Aleph, Rabbi Elazar Omer Meshachar Beis HaMikdash Hazer Keshavis. If you recall, the Mishnah had a Machlokas in terms of what exactly, when, which Yontif is going to be breaking Avelos. A person started observing Avelos going into a Yontif, so the Yontif is going to go ahead and cancel the remaining part of Avelos. In the Mishnah, you had a number of positions. The opinion of Rabbi Lazar is that Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Atzeres is going to be treated like Shabbos, meaning that Shavuos is not going to have the status of a Yontif in that it will not break Avelos. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be like a regal. The Chachamim in the Mishnah said Lo Kedivrei Zeh Velo Kedivrei Zeh. Atzeres is going to be like a Yontif. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be like Shabbos. So those were the complement of positions that we saw back in the Mishnah. Amar Gidobar Menashe Amar Shmuel Halacha Kerabim Gamliel. So the Gemara over here concludes B'Shem Shmuel that the halacha is in fact going to be like the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be like a Yontif, and if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be like a Yontif, it goes without saying that Shavuos also is going to be treated like a Yontif. So that means to say the Gemara's conclusion is that aside from Pesach and Sukkah is going to cancel Avelos, so will Shavuos, so will Rosh Hashanah, and so will Yom Kippur as well. So that is, we're going to come back to this particular topic in just a moment. The Gemara is going to take a short break from this topic to discuss another topic having nothing to do with Avelos, but having to do with Kfura. But the reason why it comes up over here is because some have a Nusach that Rav Gidol Bar Menashe, when he's quoting Shmuel, is not going on our Mishnah and our Machlokas and our Mishnah, but rather going on a different issue. Some have the psak of Rav Gidol Bar Menashe not going on our Mishnah, but rather going on a totally different issue, and that is based on the following braisa. Kol shloshim yom, tinok yotze bechek, v'nikbar b'ishachas u'shnei nashim, avalo b'ishachad u'shnei nashim. So Rachmanus, the braisa over here, is going to be talking about the burial of an infant. If the infant died before it achieved a month of life, so then the burial is going to be very basic. There will not be a coffin. It will be taken out in the arms. The Bryce over here talks about it could be done with a woman and two men, but not two men and one woman, but not a man and two women, as that would be a violation of Yichud. The Abishol Omer, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, according to the Shita of Abishol, Av Bishechet Shtei Nashim. In this particular case, you can have one man go out with two women. Normally, that would be a violation of Yichud. Over here, wouldn't, considering the fact that it is a funeral. The mood in general is going to be less conducive to any kind of frivolity. Anyway, so point number one of the Braisa is that if Rachmanis, the infant died before it's a month, so it will be taken out, but with no coffin. In terms of other aspects, the Gemara over here does not talk about. Obviously, to go well beyond the daf, you will learn about the requirements of tahara and other related issues regarding the burial of someone of an infant less than 30 days. Braisa moves on. Ve'in omdim alav v'shura ve'in omrim alav birchos avelim, and there is no avelus over the death of such an infant. There's not going to be two rows being formed. In other words, normally when the Avo leaves the cemetery, there are going to be two rows where they're going to be giving him Divrei Tanchumim, comforting words for the first time as he leaves the cemetery. So you don't do that in this circumstance. You do not say Birchas Avelim. That is a bracha that was said in the street. The Gemara in Ksuvos goes over the Nusach of the bracha. V'tanchumi Avelim, also there's not going to be any Nicham Avelim as well. So that is if the baby died before 30 days. Ben Shloshim, if the infant died, Rachmanis, they died after it was 30 days old. So Yotze B'deluskema. So it will go out now in an aron. The aron will be smaller. Rabbi Yehuda Amer lo b'deluskema, hanitels b'katef ella hanitels b'agapayim. So the deluskema is going to be carried by two people, not by one person. V'omdim alav v'shura, v'omrim alav birchas avelim v'tanchumi avelim. So here we're going to go through avelos. There will be the rose, there will be birchas avelim, there will be tanchumi avelim. Ben Shnemasar Chodesh, the Brisa goes on. If the baby is not a baby, but a year old, so Yotze Bemita. So at this point in time, he's going to be taken out to be buried in a standard coffin. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hu Ben Shana, the Eivarev Ke Ben Shtayim, Hu Ben Shtayim, the Eivarev Ke Ben Shana, Yotze Bemita. Shitas Rabbi Kiva is that the toddler has to be 2 years of age, either chronologically 2 years of age or physically mature like a two-year-old. Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tinok Yotze Bemita. If the baby is taken out in the coffin, Rabbi Masiv ben Elav, so then there's going to be this grief, as if an adult were being buried. Ein Yotze Bemita, but if not taken out in a coffin, so in Rabbi Masiv ben Elav, so there's not going to be this kind of grief. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer, Nika LeRabim, if the public recognizes him, meaning the young boy now started already going out into the public. So Rabbi Masaskimbo. So not only is there going to be a standard funeral, but also there will be Nicham Avelim. And Eino Nikal Rabim, however, if the child is not known, so in Rabbi Masaskimbo, so there's not going to be such a public funeral. Again, a lot of details over here in terms of what exactly are the differences between these various opinions that we just learned together. Are there debates going on over here regarding a two-year-old versus somebody who is Nikola Rabim? Okay, so the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of details over here that we're just going to bypass. The Gemara is all bringing this in just tangentially because, as we're going to see as we get to the end of the Braisa, there's going to be a small debate at the end of the Braisa, and we're going to have a Masara in terms of who we passing alike. Rabbi Umahin Behesped, as far as eulogies are concerned, so Meir B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Aniyim B'nei Shalosh. So if they're a poor family, so already eulogies if the baby died Rachmanos at 3 years of age and upwards. Ashirim, if the family is a wealthy family, so B'nei Chamesh. So then the boy has to have died at 5 years of age and older. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishmal, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Aniyim B'nei Chamesh, Ashirim B'nei Shesh. Poor people at 5, 6, wealthy people at 6, ubnei zakenim, or let's say it's an elderly couple, so kivnei anim, so they're going to be like poor people, meaning that it will be either 3 years of age or 5 years of age, depending on whichever shita you go like. Why is there a difference between wealthy families and poor families? So Rashi writes over here, that when it comes to a poor family, so the loss of a child is going to be even more acutely felt. They have no money, and so the child really represents to them that which they quote unquote had in life, and so for them the loss is going to be even more acutely felt, and so therefore eulogies even at a younger age. Masha Enkin says Rashi, when you have a wealthy family, so it, obviously the loss of a child is indescribable, but in terms of eulogies, they do have money, so it will not be as acutely felt if the child was younger. Therefore, has paid him only when the child is a little bit older. That's Rashi's explanation in terms of why there's a difference between wealthy families versus poor families. Anyway, on all this, Amrav Gidol Bar Menashe, Amrav Halachik Rav Yehuda, Amrav Mishim Rabbi Shmuel. There's a halacha like Rav Yehuda, meaning on that last point over here in terms of when do we start with the Hespedim? Is it going to be at the ages of 3 and 5, or is it going to be at the ages of 5 and 6? So here, Rav Gidol says that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, in that it's going to be operating with the second numbers of 5 and 6. Okay, that was all but a short tangent of the Gemara, as simply as a result of the fact that we have another Masorah in terms of when Rav Gidol bar Menashe paskin. In the meantime, however, we come back to our discussion. Darash Rav Anani bar Sason, Apischa de Ben Nisiyah. So the following psak was given by Rav Anani. Yomecha lifnei atzeres, v'atzeres harei kana arba asar. So a person loses a karov a day before Shavuos. So now, in terms of avelos, so as we already discussed and we've already concluded, so the avelos will be broken by Shavuos. We've already established this on the bottom of the previous amun. We noted already that the halacha, in fact, follows like the shita of Rami Gamliel. And so we know that Shavuos is a regal which is going to be breaking the avelos. So that already has been established. What the Gemara is going over here is the following. So avelos is done, and now what's left to talk about is shloshim. So we know that there's an observance of shloshim. Now, how long is shloshim? One of the easier questions that we get to answer in today's daf, the answer, of course, is shloshim is 30 days. But consider the following. The fact is there are going to be two facts that we're going to be focusing on. Number one is that even though it was one actual day of avelos being observed, but as far as halacha is concerned, so all of avelos now has been observed, even though it's been compacted into one day. But nevertheless, halacha views it as if all of avelos has been observed. So vis-a-vis Yishloshim, so already 7 days can get knocked out. That's point number one. Point number two is that also, Shavuos is one day, but once again, in that one day, you really have 7 days of Yantav in that one day. How does that work exactly? So as we discussed already numerous times, so even though the Yantav for Shavuos is one day, but you have 7 days of Tashlumin. With every Yantav, there's a requirement to bring a Karban Chagiga and an Olas Riyah. We're going to be discussing this in detail as we open up to the next Masecht and Chagiga in less than a week. In the meantime, however, on Pesach and on Sukkot, so you have the entirety of Yantav to bring these Karbanos. On Shavuos, so Shavuos is being only one day, so if you don't bring him on the day of Shavuos, you still have 7 days of Tashlumin, 7 days to make it up. So as a result of this, so Shavuos also, even though it's one day, so nevertheless, the halacha allows us to look at it as if it's also a seven-day event compacted into one day. With these two pieces of information in mind, what comes out now is something interesting, which the Gemara now is pointing out. This is the Psak of Rav Anani. And that is that if a person loses a karov a day before Shavuos, so that one day before Shavuos and Shavuos itself, those 2 days are going to qualify as 14 days vis-a-vis Shloshim. That means that after Shavuos is over, he only has but 16 days of Shloshim, and then he's done with the Shloshim. Shama Rabbi Ami ve'ikbid. Rabbi Ami heard this psak given by Rav Anani. He was very upset. Amar atu didei, he... And the reason why he was upset is just simply because he didn't give the proper credit of who this halacha belongs to. The Rabbi Lazar Amar Rabbi Yoshehi. It is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yoshehi, so he was just simply upset because he wasn't giving proper attribution as to who said this. Derash Rav Yitzchak, Nafcha, Akila, Deresh Galusa. And the Gemara now is going to sound like a repeat, but it is a repeat, and it just happens to be that in the second version, so it's going to be said over in the name of different Amorayim. So now in the second version, Rabbi Yitzchak is darshaning. Yom echelif ne'atzeres v'atzeres ha'reken arba asar. So it's the same exact point. We're just going to keep going. Shama Rav Sheshes v'ikbet. Rav Sheshes heard this and he got upset. Amar atu didehi, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshehi. This in fact belongs to the shita of Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, minayin la'atzeres. Sheyesh la'tashlumim kol sheva. So Shavuos is going to have 7 days of makeup, as we already explained what that means. Shenamar, v'chaga matzos v'chaga Shavuos. So ma chagam atzos yeshla tashlumin kol shiva chagash vos yeshla tashlumin kol shiva. So Shavuos is going to be like Pesach. Pesach has got 7 days to make it up. Same thing with Shavuos as well. Okay, so what comes out now from the Gemara over here is that because of these halachic phenomena, so what we could do is that we could look at 2 days, and 2 days can turn into 14, qualifies 14 observed days of Shloshim. Adabir Rapapa Rav Avya Saba Vidarish. So Rav Papa was escorting Rav Avya, and they darshan the following. Yom Echad Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. V'Rosh Hashanah Harei Kan Arba Asar. So what we're going to do over here is basically the same thing as we did for Shavuos. We're going to do it for Rosh Hashanah as well. Meaning that if a person was an Avel a day prior to the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, so that means that that one day plus Rosh Hashanah now will qualify as 14 days Torah Shloshim. Okay. There are 2 points to take into consideration over here. Number one, the fact that Rosh Hashanah is going to be treated like Shavuos is really a Chiddush. Because we know that on Shavuos are the requirements of bringing the Chagiga and the Olas Re'iyah. There are no requirements to bring these Karbanos on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not a regal. It's a Yantiv, but it's not a regal, in which requires the Karban Chagiga and the Olas Re'iyah. So that is that's point number one. And so what allowed us to call Shavuos a seven-day event because of the Zayin Yemei Teshlumim doesn't really exist on Rosh Hashanah. So already that's a bit of a chiddush to extend and use this idea of just like we say that Shavuos is a compacted 7 days because of this halach of Tashlumim, to then go ahead and extend that to Rosh Hashanah, where in Rosh Hashanah you don't have the chovas of a Karban Chagiga, you don't really have Tashlumim. Okay, so that requires an explanation. The Gemara doesn't really explain it, or I'll say it better. Gemara doesn't explain it at all, but still, it's worthwhile to try to understand it, and yes, the Rishonim do in fact address this issue. The second point to take into consideration, and this is what Tosfos speaks at length here about, you can see the Tosfos Dibra Maschel de Rebbe Lazar, and that is the following. If a person becomes an Avil a day before Rosh Hashanah, let's consider. What's Rosh Hashanah going to do? So Rosh Hashanah will terminate the Avilus. That we've already established, that we know. Now, we are trying to factor and figure out how many days of Shloshim are left on the table. Tosfos points out that seems to be a really academic point and just simply not at all even practical. Why? Because we know that less than 10 days later is going to be Yom Kippur. And so just like Rosh Hashanah went ahead and canceled Avelos, so Yom Kippur should presumably go ahead and cancel Shloshim. So regardless of how many days are remaining, whether it be 16 days remaining or if you want to try to argue that more than 16 days are remaining, we know that comes Yom Kippur less than 10 days later, and Yom Kippur is going to break Shloshim. So why are we even engaging this discussion altogether? So see Tosfos who asks this question, see Tosfos who formulates a number of answers to this question. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Avina. Hilkach. Yom Echad lifnei Achag v'chag. Yom Hashmini. Shalo. Harei kan esrim v'echad yom. So this idea now that a Yantiv can be viewed as a compacted seven-day event. So now let's consider the following. Let's say the person becomes an Avol a day before Sukkos. So now, that Avelos that he quote-unquote observed, even though he only actually observed it for 1 day, but since it is 7 days of Avelos, so therefore that qualifies as week number one. That's already 7 days down, even though in actuality was only 1 day. And then, of course, you have the 7 days of Sukkos. So that now will represent a second week. And then you have Yom HaShmini. Yom HaShmini obviously a reference to Shmini Atzeres. So the Shmini Atzeres also is going to be qualifying as another week. Since that Shmini Atzeres is a regal b'fnei atzmo. And so therefore, it can be viewed as another week. And as a result of that, consequently, what will come out now is that after Sukkot is over, so now, halachically, 21 days is viewed as if it's already been observed. And so therefore, as far as the Shloshim are concerned, only 9 more days need to be observed. Harei kan esrim ve'echad yom, so that's 21 days, where only now 9 more days need to be observed. Ravina ikla l'sura depras. One last episode for today. Ravina goes to the town of Sura, the one right by the Euphrates. Amle rev chaviva misura depras l'ravina. Amar yom echad lifnei Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah. Harei kan arba asar. Okay, so exactly what we just said, that if a person becomes an aval before Rosh Hashanah, so that coupled together with the Rosh Hashanah will be viewed as 14 days. So Amalei, so when Ravina hears this, so Ravina's response is, Ana, mistabek haram gamlil hu da amina. So not perfectly clear what Ravina's comment is, but seemingly the pshat of Ravina is that, yes, I think Rabbi Gamliel would agree to that sentiment. Meaning not that he himself necessarily would agree to that sentiment, but Rabbi Gamliel wouldn't in fact be on board with that sentiment. Okay, that's a, but that But that's all we could say. Meaning, but not necessarily that I agree with that sentiment. Okay. I kind of takes us to the Mishnah. And tomorrow we begin with the Mishnah. We'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow. It's just a quick recap of today's daf. Here on Chav Dalet in the Amud Aleph, the entirety of the Amud Aleph brought down the machlokes between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, whether on Shabbos during Avelus, a person is going to be Noheg, Dvarim Shibet Sina. According to the Shita of Rav Yochanan, a person will be Noheg Avelus of Dvarim Shibet Sina. According to Shmuel, Avelus is going to be totally on suspension over the course of Shabbos. Not even Dvarim Shibet Sina are going to be observed on the Shabbos. Gemara's conclusion seemingly is, like the Shita of Rav Yochanan, that seemingly is the Gemara's conclusion, certainly it's the Bahag's conclusion, it's the accepted halacha, is that Dvarim Shibet Sina are in fact going to be observed during the Shabbos of Avelos. And that covered the entirety of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Then as we got to the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, a discussion in terms of which position do we follow in our Mishnah, number of opinions in terms of which days of Yontif are going to cancel Avelos. And so the Gemara takes the most lenient position of Rabbi Gamliel, that it's going to be every Yontif that's going to cancel Avelos, even Rosh Hashanah, even Yom Kippur. The Gemara brings down a Mesorah that we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. As long as the Gemara has that Mesorah, the Gemara had another Mesorah in terms of how we paskin on a different issue, notably the burial of a tinok. The Gemara quoted a lengthy brisa regarding the burial of a tinok when he died before he was a month, after a month, before a year, before 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and the various halachas that are associated with Rachmanis, the burial of such a young child. And on the last point, there was a machlokas in terms of a distinction to be made between aninim and ashirim in terms of hespeid. And who do we follow on that last point? Okay. And that's why the Gemara brought that up over here. And finally, our last discussion in today's daf was a discussion in terms of how to count Torah Shloshim. So we know that even when Avelos is finished, but there's still Shloshim to go through. So an interesting discussion in our Gemara regarding the ability to count not actual observed days, but halachic days, Torah Shloshim. And so the example that we started off with is that if a person is an Avel on a day before Shavuos, so after Shavuos, it's viewed as if 14 days have already been observed towards the Shloshim. That's a function of the fact that the 7 days of Avelos are viewed as they're all been observed, and therefore that's already seven. Shavuos itself represents also a full week vis-a-vis Shloshim because of the Shiva Yimei Tashlumin for Shavuos. And so therefore, when Shavuos is over, as a result of that, 14 days are viewed as if they're observed. How does this play out regarding Rosh Hashanah / Yom Kippur? How does this play out in regarding Sukkot, which is a yontif followed then by another yontif immediately thereafter? So the Gemara discussed that as well. Adkan.